You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We are doing two live hours every day here for as long as the Miami Heat are in the playoffs.
So until tomorrow?
Yeah, enjoy a long and fruitful run, Dan.
What was that voice?
A Celtics fan.
That was a Celtics fan?
Well, it was me.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see the mask pulled off and to see you so clearly.
What,
you were in such good disguise, and I didn't know it was you. But then
it's me, a Celtics fan.
What is going on with The Rock right now, Stugant? I have the entirety of his career. It has really been amazing to watch how much he does, how much he does well, how he's indefatigable, how well-liked he is. Indefatigable.
What is that?
He's tireless.
Oh.
He does not.
Got it.
His work ethic and his need for success and ambition, because he tells the story and tells them well, as a self-help guy, because he's an inspiration of being broke leaving Canada, not good enough for Canadian football, and having to figure out his life with very few dollars in his pocket, scared. His coming from a lineage of his father was a professional wrestler, very famous. What The Rock has done with his career is one of the most amazing things I've ever stood anywhere near, because I went to college with him. And his schedule was so busy years ago that the very failed Art of Conversation, which lasted two episodes.
Good ones, though.
I had reached out. Yeah, they were good.
Great ones.
They were good.
Yep.
I reached out to The Rock, who I've known for a while. Again, we went to college together, and wanted him to do that. And his schedule was booked. And he told me himself through like 2024. And at the time I was asking was like 2022 or whatever it was. So I've got my years wrong there, but the point of the story is I've always assumed this person is unbearably busy because he does so much that I can't imagine that he's not. I don't understand how he's always positive and never overwhelmed given how much he's doing.
Did you lock him in for 2024?
I did not.
You should have. I know. We could have had him on this show like this week.
Is he still upset about the Pell Grant story? Or
maybe.
Yeah. You're never going to live that down, Dan. Sorry, man.
I didn't do the Pell Grant story.
Okay. Well, if we did book him for this show, according to this article in The Wrap, he would have showed up 6 hours late on average.
Seems like we found out yesterday why he's never tired.
Always sleeping in.
When I read this story of, and this part made sense to me, when I read the story of saying he demands to have 3 hours a day to work out and will not work more than 5 hours a day, one of the things that I thought while reading this story is, man, That's how he does it. The way that he does it is he is the star. He knows he's the star. He's the biggest star in the movies. And the way that he uses that power is he will get balance over his life and he'll be the leader. And if production costs go up, everyone will sit around and wait until the star gets there. Because I'd always wondered how he managed the two things of being that busy and that likable. Because I would have thought he'd get tired and that his mood would get foul. And so these are some of the first times I've read anything about The Rock that would suggest he would give you some details that would make it easy to like him a little less than you did before.
That third bullet point is kind of strange, huh?
The peeing in a bottle because he's in such a hurry and had to save time and he would do it in front of people.
Made a habit of it.
Pee in Voss, those like big Voss glass water bottles, and then PAs would have to throw them out. That was all in this article.
PAs.
This is also part of this.
PAs.
He's shooting a movie
that was
called
Red. that was
I'm mad at Nick Nurse. I'm sorry. I'm having a tough day.
That was Jeremy saying it out loud to everybody, not just
thought he
to
said
you.
It to me. Yeah.
He's shooting
next
a
time,
movie called Red One, which do you guys want
to
hear what this movie is about? It's about a villain.
Wait a minute. Let's examine this for a second. Forgive me, Jessica. I want to come back to this.
Nick Nurse. And
I want to just examine what happened there. Stugatz just told Jeremy, next time, give the good joke to me. And he's totally right. It would have been such a better joke if you'd made it instead of
I tried to give him indefatigable.
No, that's you know I'm going to botch that one. Daddy's got to eat, Jeremy.
Yeah,
okay?
That's not one to botch. Yeah,
Daddy's
got to
eat. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. That's how we do it at WFAT. That's our slogan at WFAT.
Daddy's
got to
eat.
That's our slogan at WFAT. Daddy's got to eat.
You want me to keep going
Yes,
now?
I'm sorry.
Okay. The Rock is shooting a movie called Red One. Would you like to know what this movie's about?
Yes, duh.
Sure.
It's about a villain who kidnaps Santa Claus from the North Pole, after which an ELF, extremely large and formidable, get it, it's elf, operative, joins forces with a bounty hunter to find Santa and save Christmas.
Oh, my God.
I would watch this.
I like this.
Awesome. I was in until I found out he's an elf.
No, he's probably the secret agent guy.
But I bet he's got to be dressed like an elf, like a jack.
Did he kidnap Santa?
Oh,
elf.
God, I hope so.
You're right.
I actually don't know what character he's playing in this. Let me reread this article.
This sounds great.
He's probably the big elf, ELF,
the main ELF.
The main big guy.
I think he's like the bounty hunter that the ELFs
That's
kind
what
of
I thought,
yeah,
too.
Get together with.
His name is Callum Drift.
He'd be like the secret agent
What's his
guy.
Name?
Callum Drift.
Oh, great name.
J.K. Simmons is Santa Claus.
Huh.
Charlotte, did you just make ELF the acronym for main big guy?
Yeah, I did. I also have a rock story. Can I tell my story?
Yes, yes. In a moment, though, I'd like Jessica to give us all.
Yes.
Are there any more relevant details here? You have to understand, there are very few people in the history of celebrity who have had the Q rating that The Rock has. It's very rare to be that successful and that likable. And he's lived in the public eye for a long time without any bad details coming out on him. It's positivity and just people like him. And so it's a little surprising to read some of these details.
Yeah, the pee in the bottle thing was pretty gross, but also that there were people on the set said he was so late that they were able to qualify for Guild health insurance because they were working overtime so much, which I guess maybe maybe good for him.
Thank you, Rock.
Good for them.
A leader, a pioneer.
But yeah, he was apparently like super late every day and just was doing like 3-hour workouts in the middle of the day. And so people on set were really unhappy. Dan, you were on Ballers with The Rock. I'm curious if any of this behavior was happening when you were filming with him.
That's funny. Yes, this did happen. I want to get to Charlotte's story again, but it's the first time that I'd consider it. I didn't know back then how he had time for Ballers, and all this dude does is work. I would have assumed, if you told me that The Rock was always 8 hours late, what I would assume is that his schedule gets backed up because there are just so many things on it that he's always in a rush and he's peeing in bottles all the time because he's got to like get from place to place because his life is a total insanity. But I'll tell you a story. Let's see. I'm going to be...
a rock off?
Yeah, I'm going to go a rock off. Let's go.
A rock's off.
New Year's rocking Eve. In 2016, The Rock
this
came out.
This is a new segment. Get your rocks off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So in 2016, The Rock came out with an alarm clock app. Uh-huh. And
oh, yeah.
Yes, and I was
an alarm rock.
An alarm rock. Oh, wow. I get
sorry,
it.
I tried.
So I was working for the Win, USA Today sports blog at the time. It's still there. And I saw that he had this alarm clock, and I was like, I'm going to use this for a week. I'm going to use this app for a week. And the way it worked is that every morning you would wake up and the rock would sing to you. He would sing a song, and it would be him in his truck doing a selfie video, and it would be like, good morning, sunshine, or something. He had this song about waking up, and it was like, go get in the gym, and like really weird motivational stuff. The app also didn't work. Like, you had to open it, set the alarm, and then leave it face open on, like, your phone open on your bedside table. Or it wouldn't go off. Like, it didn't work for 3 days. I wrote about this, and I was like, this is the worst app I've ever used. I also love it. It is broken in the way that you'd sort of want an alarm clock to be. So I wrote this, and The Rock quote tweeted it. Ooh. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, The Rock saw this. And I was like, you know, and he said, no, I liked your article, blah, blah, blah. So I then wrote, like, you know, three easy steps to becoming best friends with The Rock, as you do when you're capitalizing on content on a blog. Yeah. And I posted it. And then he quote tweeted that. And he said, you missed a fourth step. It's magical and inappropriate. And I was like,
oh boy.
Is The Rock saying?
Yes. That's what he was saying.
And that was the last time I talked to The Rock.
Saying
alarm,
what?
Alarm croc. There, I found it.
Oh, no, sorry. I missed the best part of the story.
Okay, well, that's usually not a great way to tell
sorry.
A story.
He made a video singing to me after I wrote the thing.
Oh.
On the whole app, he said, this song's from Charlotte Wilder. I know you love the song. Good morning. I knew there was a better story.
And then no one heard it.
Right.
Because
the app didn't work. Yeah.
And that was the debut of Rocks Off.
I actually have a rock story, too. It's really quick.
I do, too.
Me, too. Okay.
Well, Dan also. We haven't gotten to
Dan. Yeah, Dan has
yet.
To go.
Our show used to do a thing on Twitter with, I'm good, you good? One time, The Rock responded to that. A random show listener was like, I'm good, you good, Rock? And he actually responded, I'm good.
Wow. It was Wakey Take. Yeah.
Oh. How about us?
Yeah, how about us?
Dan, now your turn.
Dan, your turn.
I mean, these stories stink.
I have a rock story.
I can tell you another one, too.
That puts you in the driver's seat.
We're building up.
I have a rock story.
We're building up to the big
guy. Let's go. Get the rocks off.
My story?
Dan, I'm trying to make you look good.
Yeah, I have a rock story.
I have a rock story.
One time, I was traveling abroad, and I was in this skyscraper. And then all of a sudden, there was this crazy fire in the skyscraper.
Wait a minute.
And I was trapped because I was above the fire. Couldn't figure out how to get out of it. And then all of a sudden, The Rock appeared. He jumped across this crane. Somehow he lost a limb and he had a, you know, prosthetic. But he saved the day.
This doesn't seem realistic.
No, I've got a better story than that.
Can I tell my rock story?
I have one, too.
On my 16th birthday.
It's a good segment.
Hold on, Jess is up. Let her get her rocks off. Go.
On my 16th birthday, The Rock tweeted, just got word that will shock the world. Land of the free, home of the brave. Damn proud to be an American. And it turned out Osama bin Laden had been killed.
Oh my God.
And The Rock somehow knew before anyone else. Wow. Folks.
That's pretty amazing.
We got him.
The Rock and I went to the same gym. Slightly different results. Somehow that's the second best story.
Your turn, Dan.
The Bosa's also worked out there.
Billy, tell me a little more.
About my story? I don't want to bore you. It'd take 90 minutes or so.
You know what? I think I want those 90 minutes right now.
I think you wouldn't.
Dan, why won't you just tell us your story?
Because
what's the
his
end
sounds
game,
better.
No. Tell us yours.
Tell me more about this skyscraper story. You were looking up at him? Wait, what was he?
No, I was at the top of the skyscraper that was on fire. And then there's a whole thing that the designers of the skyscraper might have known that this was going to happen. They had a helicopter. I didn't have the helicopter. But I'm telling you, The Rock was there. There was a situation where he had to jump in an elevator and then go down, go through the fire, which was harrowing. But we did it. I'm here today to tell you the story. So, you know, as much criticism as flack as he got yesterday, really not that bad of a guy. Saved us from that burning skyscraper.
I just don't think I can probably do better than that, because all my story is he was about 8 hours late. Like, I had to wait around. I smoked like 9 cigars because my scene had...
Prop cigars or real
My scene of 10 seconds. Not prop cigars, real cigars.
Did you take your shirt off?
Just waiting for him.
Do you want me to tell my story again?
No. Never again.
I still don't understand your story.
Yeah. I really botched it.
Well, it feels like he was hitting on her, I think. I'm not totally
sure.
Yeah,
but I missed the part. What are you saying to me?
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Le Batard.
Photography is not as hard as it's made out to be. And now with computers, I mean, you can make anything look like anything, Dan. It's almost cheating. It's not fair. Yep. If you push a button and it takes 1,000 pictures, you're going to find a good one in the batch.
There were a lot of photographers there taking thousands of pictures. One got that photograph. Okay, good retort.
Stugatz.
Haven't you ever passed by photographers? I guarantee you when that shot was taken, we didn't just hear... That's not what you heard. If you were by that camera...
Like in my ear with that.
He does a good camera.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I forgot the best part of the story. Nev like Campbell was there.
Oh my God.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Party of five?
Just like Charlotte, you forgot the best part of the story.
That's what happens,
yeah, everybody
Dan.
Everybody laughs till it happens to them.
You make us nervous, Dan. We get around you. We want to impress you with our rock stories, and we just forget the most important details of them. What was yours?
The peeing in a bottle. I wonder how many of the people in the audience have ever peed in a bottle. This was something my brother did to save time as well. I don't know if the world's most efficient people do this. I assumed, while that is obviously inappropriate, I simply assumed that The Rock is always in a hurry to get to the next place and he's got to hurry up. Like, I assume he's living his entire life that way. You can't work as much as... Stugatz, there are two people.
Don't be 7 or 8 hours late to your shift. I mean...
Well, here's the thing. Kevin Hart is also, Stugatz, somebody who's got way too much going on, and he's famously professional and responsible in this regard. The two people in all of celebrity viewed by other people who work in celebrity is like, my God, how does that person not get fat off success? How is that person still insatiable about needing to be the best and most competitive and grab all the things? These are the two guys. Like, I don't know who the third would be, having a reputation in Hollywood for working harder than everybody else. And he's become such a huge star now. Can you imagine what The Rock's life actually is in terms of what opportunities arrive from him? He could spend the entire day just listening to his agent tell him things that are available to him.
Like, every day.
Every day. Yes. He could just sit there. If he wanted to do it as a breathing exercise, tell me how great I am and tell me all the things I can have. I will just now try to control my breathing and you just whisper in my ear. He could do that for the rest of time the way that Taylor sat in a train to get to Madison Square Garden. Just sitting there being told, here are the opportunities for you. He can pick and choose whatever he wants. And one of the funny things is a career choice being managed by very smart people, Stugatz, who are supporting an enormous economy for the biggest star in the world. The biggest, the movie star of all movie stars is The Rock. Every single option is available to him. Nobody would disagree with this, correct? Is there anyone, he's been the biggest movie star for how long? The biggest grosser, the biggest moneymaker. I know the last couple of movies, it's hard to stay up there. The idea that he would trade all that in his 50s, Stugatz, to care deeply about attending to his legacy and his dad's legacy by still being great at wrestling, by still being able to walk into WrestleMania in his 50s and steal it with The Undertaker because he's still the biggest star over there, too, that he would care about crafting that in his 50s?
I want to know what Billy thinks, because there was a part about how Vin Diesel was mad that he was delaying Fast and Furious' production by being late all the time. Are you, or whose side are you on? Vin Diesel, I assume, right?
Yesterday was a big day for Vin Diesel. He was vindicated.
Attaboy.
What are you, Jeremy?
I'm just, you know. Here's the thing. A lot of people sided with The Rock this entire time. It was like, wow, Vin Diesel, like, get it together. He's the biggest movie star in the world. But when Ryan Reynolds came out and was like, you know what? This Rock, even though he didn't say it, but when it was like made known, Ryan Reynolds and The Rock had this feud going on and didn't speak for a long time because of it. Finally, justice for Vin. Because we were all here criticizing poor Vin Diesel, saying, you know what, he just needs to get along with The Rock. How could he? The Rock's always smiling. He's so happy. What a nice guy. Vin Diesel must be such a diva. No, no, no. Seems as though the true diva was from the WWE. Because yeah, their wrestlers used to be known as WWE divas.
Yeah, it was a good
one. This is a layered joke.
The Ryan Reynolds fight was because they were filming a Netflix movie called Red Notice. And according to The Wrap, Ryan Reynolds was so infuriated after waiting 5 hours for Johnson that they had a huge fight and Johnson stormed off set. The two stars didn't speak for years until they recently patched things up. So, yes, he was in another movie called Red something.
Yeah. What a good movie. It was a Netflix movie. Fun movie.
I would push,
Gal Gadot.
I would push back that he's the biggest movie star. He's an action star. He's not Leo.
No,
he's not getting like Oscars.
I heard they offered him Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I meant biggest movie star, I just meant in terms of screen filling, face filling. You'll see their movies just because it's them. With Leo, it's a choice. It's not just because he's famous. It's also because he's discerning. The Rock, I don't know. You'd have to look at earnings because the last few, he's had a couple of bombs here recently. The Rock has, but the reason he's paid the way that he is, and I would assume he's the highest paid as well, I would assume he makes more than Leo. It's because you put his name on your project and it's supposed to be a winning project just because it's him.
I have become death destroyer of film budgets.
Has he done a Muppet movie? Because if I were big in Hollywood and I could do absolutely anything I want.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
really?
Oh, easily, yeah. Easily.
You have The Rock in a Muppet movie?
No. I have me.
But you
as The Rock. Charlotte as
The Rock.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Jess.
Yeah. The Fozzie Bear.
I get it.
Wasn't he he was the Tooth Fairy, or he was an ice hockey?
Yeah, the Tooth Fairy. Yeah.
You are right, though. I'm seeing here that The Rock will earn $50 million for Red One, and Leo for Flowers, Killers of the Flower Moon, got $40 million. So he is making more than Leo.
He was supposed to make $10 million, but he was paid hourly. I'll go.
No, that's okay. You can stay there.
Wow.
Vindicated.
Wow.
I don't. You've been vindicated, and I want to give you your moment. I want to see if video can find for us Vin Diesel taking himself very seriously while singing, because we do have, in this world of soap opera silliness where we get to gossip about the famous people, Billy is right that we all sided with The Rock over Vin Diesel and his feud with Vin Diesel. Everyone did. And it may have been because we were simply influenced by liking him more. Like, it seems like The Rock is more likable. Vin Diesel takes himself very seriously. The Rock, Stugatz, do you understand that this man has made all this money off of being charismatically someone who puts on a mask.
Right.
Not actually, but he's a professional wrestler. His acting chops are learning to watch his dad perform for people in a ring with Tony Atlas. Rocky Johnson with Mr. Olympia. They were building wrestling. The Rock grew up in a household where he learned how to be in disguise all of the time. All of the time. Became a professional actor, wrestler. All the time, this man gives off charisma while he's talked about his mental health stuff and the places where he's gotten sad. And always in public, he's putting on a great face.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thinks The Rock is happy all the time, successful all the time, inspirational all the time. It's really hard to keep that up for 20 years successfully.
Not when you're getting paid all the time. I mean, he's getting paid all the time. I'm with Chris. I do not think he is the biggest movie star going. I do not. Tom Cruise.
Okay, how do you define it then? Like how
I mean,
it's fine. We can quibble about it if you want. I'm just saying that The Rock hasn't made very many good movies. There aren't a lot of what I'm talking about.
There's at least 5 good Fast movies that he's made.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The Rock, Leo's resume is filled with movies that are thespian choices. The Rock is doing the thing that The Rock can do best, something that doesn't have to challenge you too much. You can just go, as an actor, you can just go there and be The Rock, and people will watch you be The Rock.
But do you think the great directors, the great filmmakers, when they're casting a movie, like you think Martin Scorsese is sitting around going, I need The Rock for this role?
You are totally right about this, Stugatz. I am not talking about an actor's ability to act.
We're not saying he has crazy range.
I don't know.
That's Dave Bautista. We've done this 1,000 times.
He can sing, though, right, Chris?
Oh, won't you stay? Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. And darling, stay with me.
Jessica,
that was Vin Diesel.
That was expertly done, except telling people that they were listening to The Rock sing.
I mean, The Rock was in Moana.
That's right. He sings,
yeah,
you're
the Rock
welcome.
Yeah, he sings in Moana. I thought Chris was going to play Moana.
He sang in the ring.
I was teeing it up for that.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Roy, you really mumbled your way through that one.
The Rock sang in the ring while he was under his character. He had like a guitar and everything.
Roy, you know what I'm saying, though. Do it, you know, do a movie like on Golden Pond. Henry Fonda and act, okay?
I don't understand this take by you at all. Because, like, Dan will say Daniel Day-Lewis is a great actor, and you're like, Stallone.
Yeah.
And now it's like The Rock is the greatest actor. Like, I want range. Give me Streep. And I'll be like, Streep is great. Like, 2 Oscars. Rings.
There's a little bit of Stugatz in everybody, because I will tell you that just last night, I called in my wife from the other room because I was pausing the television on something that had just made me howl with delight.
The Knicks?
No, well, I was in a good mood because of everything that was happening with the Knicks, but I just stopped purposefully on the word. It said Sylvester Stallone. It was all that was on the screen.
Yeah.
And then the thing that came up next with dramatic music was just Rambo 3 came up on the screen. I was hypnotized for a moment by the same thing that grabs Stugatz by the heart and never lets go. I don't believe that Stugatz could have chosen funnier 3 words to put together for a movie than On Golden Pond. That he needs
Henry Fonda, right?
He needs the Rock to perform On Golden Pond before he's willing to celebrate him as the world's biggest movie star. Until then, it's Tom Cruise.
It's a 50-year-old movie.
That's all I had.
Sam Morrill is there, Stugatz. He is our Knicks correspondent. Ooh. He was there with Taylor, and Brad Williams was there inexplicably last night for reasons I didn't totally understand, trying to vie to become the Knicks correspondent.
Wait, Taylor had seats next to Sam?
No, it wasn't seats next to Sam, but he was pretending to drink with Sam because he just wanted to be part of the crowd. He couldn't have smelled good because he was on a train for 28 hours. But Sam, welcome in here. I rank it for me, Sam, because I'm almost scared to ask you this as someone who's grown to care about you. I feel like that might have been as bad as that sport has ever made you feel last night.
I didn't sleep well last night. I'm going to be honest. That was a rough one. If I was in Guantanamo, play that footage. That's how you get me. You know, that was rough. So, yeah, it reminds me of the Reggie Miller play in the Garden. But a reminder, the Knicks won that series in six, too. So have a short-term memory. Let's get this in Philly.
Okay, it's excellent coach talk, but I want to rummage around with your lack of sleep last night. I want to know how you felt at the end of that game and where it ranks for you legitimately in terms of heartbreak. Because while you're one of the great things this time of year is feeling the suffering of other sports fans. It elevates all of this. It makes the stakes higher for you as you take over Philadelphia. Knicks fans are louder than everyone else. You guys care deeply. What was last night like for you?
Not good. It was not good. I mean, look, you felt the air come out of the Garden. I mean, that play, you can't foul Tyrese Maxey, although God damn, you can't make that whistle either. It's such an unnatural shooting motion. It really, this Philadelphia team is the biggest group of foul hunters I've ever seen in my life. Like, they don't play a likable brand of basketball. No. Where the Knicks are fucking bruisers and they're fun. This Philly team is just annoying. Maxey's a great player. I got to give Maxey his credit.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training. Just in time for summer and warmer days, spring's the best time of the year to take a new look at your fitness routine, dial it up a notch, and continue powering on. Challenge yourself. And Peloton's classes were made just for that, to challenge you. There's a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve what you already excel in. Plus, if you don't know which class to take to reach your fitness goals, guess what? You can join one of Peloton's many programs. Right now, I'm in a strength program with Andy and a core program with Emma. Their expert coaches like Andy and Emma and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. With Peloton, you don't need to worry about driving to the gym, making it to class on time. You can do it all from the comfort of your own home whenever it fits your busy schedule. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Don Levitard.
You were that kind of sad this morning, taking the barrage of anger from Stugatz because you hadn't booked him enough interviews. The only reason I keep bringing this up is because you not are throwing a big party on Thursday. You're doing it, and I want people to support what you're doing because Stugatz has not made this easy.
Stugatz.
Well, you know.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Listen, Sam, we're on WFAT here, so who are you mad at? Like, who are you ripping today? Is it Mitchell Robinson? He owes us one.
He doesn't really do that, though. Sam, you're pretty, like, you love this team so much. You're super gentle with, you don't criticize.
He's on the Fats.
I know, but you are on WFAT, Mitch, like, though.
Mitch is, you gotta love Mitch because he took credit. He said, or he took accountability, rather. He said, I f***ed up, and he did. He knows he did. But I still think, like, that's a tough call to make. Like, if you're the refs, like, we'd never challenge left because the refs make bad f***ing calls against the Knicks all night. I mean, this group of Sixers is just looking for the foul at all times. It's just an annoying team. Like, that Lowry shot in game five where he just dove over on the floor, Jalen Brunson. It's a lot of unnatural shooting. Look, you can't make that foul. That's what everyone's saying. You wish Josh hit those free throws, but, like, we're not here without Josh. You know, Mitchell played great D all first half against Embiid. I think that's a situation where, like, you wish they fouled. It's unfortunate.
Sam, you really are filled with...
Hey, guys. I just want to step in here. There was more than one comedian at the show and at the game last night. As the Dan Levitard West Coast Knicks correspondent, that was a heartbreaker. It really was... And as everyone knows, you guys are becoming a Knicks show. I'm a Laker fan, but I'm reading the tea leaves, and I know that in order to get on this show, I have to start being a Knicks fan. So Jason Brunson was amazing last night. That guy, DiGiorno, he's fantastic. And I really feel like the head coach, Mike Woodson, really needs to make some adjustments in order for the Knicks to come back and really respond well.
Well, Mike Woodson might be the new Lakers coach soon, so enjoy that.
Nine lives, that guy.
Bye-bye, Darvin Ham. Look, I knew Darvin Ham was in trouble when the Nuggets coach comes out at the end and goes, he's a great coach. I hope they don't fire him. Like, yeah, you like cooking his ass in the playoffs every year. Of course you don't want to be fired.
Hey, I did like, Sam, that they that we had tickets in the handicap section.
We did.
Of Madison Square Garden. That was very awkward. Walking in, and there's a lot of people in wheelchairs, and they saw a dwarf, and they're like, well, at least we don't have that. That was my first Knick game at the Garden. It was truly, truly exciting, unbelievable, all the celebrities were there. John Stewart was there. Tracy Morgan was there. The guy that was the puppeteer for Alf, he was there. He got some screen time. Sam Morrill and myself did not get any screen time.
It is funny. And it's Sam, you were getting good seats earlier in the series, and now
I don't like asking though. Brad said he had tickets. I don't like asking because they hook it up when I ask, so I don't like to ask.
But wait a minute.
I'll ask.
But look what happened. You didn't ask. It's Brad's fault that you got worse seats.
I kind of like the handicap section because I can say whatever I want in the handicap section, and they just are like, well, maybe he's handicapped, you know? Like, maybe something's wrong with him. So I kind of like that. You know, they're like, maybe he's Tourette's or something. He's dropping some curses. But it's fun to be in the higher seats sometimes. You're around the real fans.
Sam, you're unrelentingly positive today. I don't even know what to do with this. You're supposed to be.
Look, my thing is, we're going to win this in six. I believe we are the better team. I think they stole one. That was a fucking annoying game. I mean, I don't know how they come back. They did to us what we did to them in game two.
That's correct.
He doesn't know how they come back. He just said they're going to win.
I know, but you got one stolen, and then they stole one, and then, yes, this is where it all gets ratcheted up, and then there are more rounds. And
it bothers me. You seem a little too positive about this game, and I don't like that you enjoy it this much, Dan. I don't like that you're the Schadenfreude. You're enjoying the Knicks suffering.
Well, no.
He's enjoying our misery, Sam.
This is what I will say. I enjoy the content of it because it's an elevated place to live. Pat Riley used to say that Game 7, he loved them more than anything in the world because everything gets elevated and there's nothing else in life. You don't jump up and down maybe when your kids are born in and scream at a television. Like, Game 7 is a heightened place to live. I want this series to go seven games because Maxi bailed out an MVP last night, Sam. Like, what I'm watching there is Maxi become a historic kind of playoff star if they can come back in this series, a forever guy in Philadelphia who'll be remembered for that shot if they can come back and win because he bailed out the MVP.
But, hold on, two things. You know what else Riley used to say? Philadelphia, probably. He probably said that at some point. And also, you just said bailed out an MVP. Embiid ain't looking like an MVP. Yeah. I'll say this. Brunson's looking like a better player than Embiid this series. Embiid's looking like a little crybaby, foul merchant, foul hunting baby. And you cannot tell me Embiid is playing in a likable manner this series.
No, he is not.
As a Knick fan for the last 24 hours, I agree with everything that Sam is saying. Long-suffering 24-hour Knick
fan.
Well,
calling him a foul merchant is amazing. That's that's a very funny thing to slash him with, and it's accurate. You're right, Stugatz. This part's surprising to me. Absolutely so. The New York Knicks have a lovable basketball team. It is more lovable than Philadelphia's, yep, even with what Maxi did yesterday.
Our best player is not supposed to be any team's best player in Jalen Brunson. It's a blue-collar team that the crowd, the fans have fallen in love with. They're disappointed after last night. I'm disappointed. But I'm surprised Sam is so positive because I have the Knicks losing in the worst possible way. Seven games, Saturday night, fourth quarter at the Mecca. Somehow they're going to figure out a way to lose that game.
Sam, are you going to you've got Brunson taking 30 shots a game and he's shooting 29% from three. How long are you going to tolerate that? You're just going to believe in him until you're just going to keep
forever.
Believing. You're going to keep believing, right?
The last three games he shot pretty well. I think his average is probably down because of the first two games.
25% from three.
4 of 11 last night, Sam.
Yeah, not amazing. Look, I mean, we're a grinded out defensive team. When you're two second leading scorers are OG Anunoby and Josh Hart, like, this is a defense first team. We're missing Randall. Randall is our second scorer. So, Yeah, I think we win with defense, and we've been winning with defense, and that's our MO. So we gotta keep locking teams down. And when you win with defense and you're playing against these little p's who just, you breathe on them and they fall over. Like, I have lost all respect for Joel Embiid. And you can see that he's in that interview last night. You could tell that he wants out. He's feeling the Philly pressure. He doesn't like playing in this city. He was like, New York's my favorite city. Can you imagine your star saying your favorite city is the team that he's playing against right now? He's done with Philly right now.
Also, the entire Garden all game was chanting F Embiid. So the fact that that's his favorite city, he's in a kind of an abusive relationship with New York for sure.
Sam, that's a hell of an announcement. Did you guys hear that? You guys got to clip that and send it all over the internet. Sam has lost all respect. Not 95% of his respect.
All of it, Dan.
Not 97. Sam loves basketball. Sam loves Embiid's talent. Sam no longer respects Joel Embiid. That's absolute, Sam. You're saying that for everyone to hear.
It's official. Someone tweeted me, who do you hate worse, Joel Embiid or Adolf Hitler? And I said, look, he's not in that camp yet. But, you know, I'm not happy with how he's conducted himself.
He took it there, Dan.
He did take it there.
No, Twitter took it there, and I'm just responding to a tweet. I didn't take it there. I'm saying people took take it there, there and I have no
it's Twitter's fault.
No,
please don't put me on camera when I don't he's making Embiid-Hitler comparisons. No, I don't, please don't do that.
Sam, yeah. Listen to me. I've seen your work on Hawaii morning television. You like to destroy things. You like to destroy things, Sam. You can't. You just got here. You can't come here and destroy everything. Living on the edge like you do.
Tell that to Joel Embiid. He can't destroy everything. And I'm talking about basketball, the sport I love. Stop flopping like a fucking. Okay. And you know what? Right. Stop foul hunting all Philadelphia. All right. It's fucking irritating. All play right. The game the right way. Like Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby. Real men's men.
All right. All right.
WFAT.
No, it is. It's WFAT. I can't believe I got to let him go early because he's just insulting
men.
Everybody.
We love men. Men, men, men.
Yes. Well put. Sam, good. No, this is what's happened. They've warned me about doing this with comedians. You have to be careful, Stugatz. Once this guy got the scent of, wait, Dan's going to enjoy my pain, yeah. Watch what I do. Watch what I do because Dan's going to enjoy. He knows.
You want to drink these tears, they're going to be salty, Dan. They're going to be salty tears.
They're going to be salty, but also dangerous tears. You want me as your next correspondent? This is what it's going to look like, Dan. I'm going to come in here at the end.
I told you, I warned you today would be a bad Sam.
Okay.
You wanted me after a loss. This is what you get.
We need you after a loss.
No, but no, I regret everything that's happened here. I regret everything.
Calling everyone a...
Everything. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Yes. That's
game on Philadelphia.
Nice. Yes. And
no,
and
we can't foul. We really can't foul in that situation. I mean, look, it's like the stages of grief, man. You just gotta not make those fouls and you can't. As I said, Maxie's the only Sixer I respect.
Can I just understand? Let's have this video clip as we get out of here. I just want to see. Taylor was drinking with Brad and Sam, but he doesn't drink, right, Chris? He was just...
I don't know him to be a big drinker.
So he was just trying to get along with the party because he had taken 28 hours by train. Let me see this video of Brad and Sam and Taylor together doing this. What do we have?
Knicks in five.
Okay, and look at and it's not Knicks in five. It should have been Knicks in five. They had all.
Now it'll be Sixers and seven.
What's that?
Sam, have you changed since yesterday or?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I've been in a world of f***ing pain.
Was that the Blarney Stone? Blarney Stone?
No, it was a bar called Pioneer on 29th Street.
You wasted your time.
Can I get a little respect for drinking that shot? That's a lot of alcohol for me. I was thoroughly messed up after that shot.
Did Taylor do anything weird because he shouldn't have been in your company and you guys just welcomed him in because he's part of our show?
Taylor was fine, man. Really? He smelled a little funny, but like that's... that goes for everybody in New York. So it's fine. He was great.
I pressured him into having a prime rib sandwich with us at the Garden, and that was a mistake. That sandwich, I'm sweating it out right now. Still, it's gross. That mixed with tequila and whiskey, I'm like, what am I thinking?
Sam, you don't smell good right now, do you?
It's not great. I've been better.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line. There were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste, only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite, great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.